and welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we are librarians with the Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. And it is time for our spring book preview with everything we're looking forward to reading as the weather warms up. So we have done this before. I don't think it needs much introduction. It's a round robin style discussion of what books we're looking forward to. Okay. And let's get started.
Okay, so up first is The Mad Woman Upstairs by Catherine Lowell. And this comes out on March 1st, which actually might be before we post this, now that I think about it. But anyway, a new book for all of you. This is a fictional imagining of the last remaining descendant of the Bronte family, who, if you know your English literature, that's the family who wrote Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights. And there's lots of other books that they wrote, different members of the family wrote, I should say. And this descendant is named Samantha Whipple, and she has been told rumors of a vast literary estate of Bronte writings, artwork, papers, and just a lot of things that have never been seen by the public. She personally doesn't believe this exists and doesn't have very much interest in it, but she goes off to school at Oxford, and suddenly strange clues start to arrive on her doorstep, and they seem to be coming directly from her recently deceased father. So this starts her on a literary scavenger hunt that includes clues that are found directly in the writings of the Brontes. And to me, this sounds like just the most fun that can possibly be had. It kind of sounds like a classic literature version of Ready Player One, mm-hmm. which I haven't read, but from everything I've heard about Ready Player One, that's...
I think I have that reaction every single time you say you haven't read it. How so, is that possible?
I think it sounds like a really great book, and that is called The Mad Woman Upstairs by Catherine Lowell.
Yes, and I have to say, there are a lot of books on Anne's list that were going to be on my list and vice versa. So.
Yeah, and I think for everything we listed, we could have done another set of books.
Yes, there are a lot of books coming out this spring that I want to read.
Yeah.
My first one is What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours by Helen Oyeyemi. Comes out March 8th, 2016, which is next week. It is a collection of short stories by the same author of Boy Snow Bird, which I talked about a few episodes ago as a book I was reading and talked about how it's very different and out of my comfort zone, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And it's really stuck with me ever since I read it. Like, I can't quite shake it. So I'm looking forward to this one. This is 9 loosely connected short stories, which take place in modern day Europe, but with an undercurrent of the fantastical and some magical realism. And I think these will be good in continuing to take me out of my comfort zone, but in an enjoyable way. I really liked her writing style. It had kind of a dreamlike quality that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed. So I'm hoping for more of that in What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours by Helen Oyeyemi.
Cool. Up next is The Nest by Cynthia Dupree Sweeney. And that comes out March 22nd. And it's about 4 adult siblings who are about to inherit money from their deceased father. The 3 siblings, the family name is Plum, P-L-U-M-B, and 3 of the siblings from this family get together in New York City to confront their brother who had just gotten out of rehab. And this brother, because of his drug use and some of the things that happened because of drug use, he's jeopardized their entire inheritance. When the father put together this trust fund, it was meant to be very modest and just meant to supplement their income midway through life. But because of interest rates and the stock market, the amount has soared, and it's a pretty big chunk of money at that point. So this would be great, except they've all been counting on this money, and they have various self-inflicted problems that they are expecting to be solved by this money. And so if they don't get it, it's going to be a really big deal in their lives. And it sounds like it's full of family tensions and the issues of what money will do to relationships. And I personally love books about dysfunctional rich families in New York City, and I don't have experience with that, but I really love Gossip Girl, so I feel like that's what is making me want to read this so much.
This is getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
A lot of good buzz.
And it has a pretty cover too.
Yes, so. It does have a pretty cover.
Yeah. That's The Nest by Cynthia Dupree Sweeney.
My next one is We Love You, Charlie Freeman by Caitlin Greenidge. Comes out March 8th, 2016. It's a debut novel, also getting a lot of buzz, a lot of attention. It's a multi-perspective novel about the Tony Bee Institute, which purportedly supported communication between humans and chimpanzees. And the story centers around Laurel, her husband, and their 2 daughters, who are recruited by the Institute to adopt a chimpanzee named Charlie into their family with the intention to teach him how to communicate using sign language. Laurel was growing up, learned sign language, and now has passed it on to her kids. And so that's why they're recruited. And the story moves back and forth in time. So the reader learns the shocking history of the Institute at the same time as learning about Laurel and what's happening with their family. It sounds unique and fascinating and, again, different from what I usually read. So I'm looking forward to it. It's We Love You, Charlie Freeman by Caitlin Greenidge.
Cool. My third book is Summer at Little Beach Street Bakery by Jenny Colgan. That comes out also on March 22nd. And this is the sequel to the first book in the series, Little Beach Street Bakery, which is the very first book I talked about on this podcast.
It's the first book I talked about.
It was on our Beach Reads episode. Yes. So if you want to go visit that, I talk about it.
Made me want to read it.
Yes. And Jenny Colgan has, I haven't read her other books, but I think you have. And they all have this very cozy, cute, like kind of light romantic appeal to them. I won't give very many identifying details so you don't have spoilers in this discussion, but the story goes back to Mount Polburn where she's living in this town in Cornwall, and she has relocated there in the first book. That's basically what happens in the whole first book. But at this point, she's settled into the town. She has a relationship and she's happily running her own bakery, but past trouble is coming to find her and it's threatening to upset the life that she's built for herself in Mount Polburn. And I think that it should be delightful. I really love the tone of the series and I'm really excited to get back to this world. And I'm just very, very excited to see this is coming out.
Sounds like the perfect book to read as we see spring. A glimmer of spring is in the air today.
Yes. I feel like.
The Summer Before the War by Helen Simonson is my next one. It comes out March 22nd, 2016. It's by the author of Major Pettigrew's Last Stand, which I read and loved several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You read that?
I didn't read it, but I thought she sounded familiar.
Yes. It's the summer of 1914 in East Sussex, and Beatrice Nash arrives to be the new Latin teacher, which is fairly scandalous because that wasn't really thought to be an appropriate pastime for a woman, particularly a single, independent, somewhat worldly and outspoken woman like Beatrice. And she falls in love with her sponsor's son, and there's the threat of war looming over the town. This is the last summer before World War One, and so it seems to me from reading the description like it's going to marry kind of small village English manners and propriety with the greater themes of war and loss and love. And sounds like they may as well have put a sticker on it that said, Hallie, go read this book, because these are all of the things that I love. And that is The Summer Before the War by Helen Simonson.
That's also getting so much attention right now.
Lots of attention for that one.
Up next is Life Without a Recipe, a memoir of food and family by Diana Abu-Jaber. And it comes out on April 18th. It's written by a Jordanian-American author. And I think she's written a few other food members as well. And she has a German grandmother. So it should be an interesting mix of cultures that are represented here. Her various family members want to influence the direction of her life. And that can be whether it's to get married, to have kids, or what kind of career she chooses for herself. But this is a book about how to celebrate the life that you choose for yourself and the life you make on your own terms while still appreciating your family and loving them. And somehow food is incorporated. I don't know how, but I think that will be great because I love food books. Yes. And it sounds like the food will work as we know it does, as a means to memories and connection with people. So I think it should be a lovely read. And it's called Life Without a Recipe by Diana Abu-Jaber.
You know, I said yes. I don't know that she's written another food memoir. I think it's all been fiction.
Has it really?
I don't know.
She has other books.
She has other books.
Let's keep it
fiction, nonfiction. Yeah. We don't know. All right. My next one is Jane Steele by Lindsay Fay. It comes out March 22nd. I had to arm wrestle and for this one.
It was going to get talked about no matter what, so we're all good.
It's described as a serial killer reimagining of Jane Eyre. And somehow I have no problem with serial killers in fiction, just in nonfiction like we talked about in our last episode. So as a child, Jane is orphaned and sent away to the Lowen Bridge School by her cruel Aunt Patience. And by the time she is 24, she has committed murder both for love and for better reasons, as she says. And then when she sees her ancestral home needs a governess, she returns there to figure out if she is the rightful heir to the estate. But once she gets there, she falls in love with the current owner, the mysterious Charles Thornfield. And it is described as atmospheric and darkly humorous and a gothic romance. And what I read is, even though it's described as a serial killer reimagining of Jane Eyre, it's not really a straight up, like, take Jane Eyre and, like, one of the books I'm going to talk about later, like, take a classic and just plop it on a different setting or time or something like that. It's really, she is reading Jane Eyre as these events in the book are happening. So she's connecting the events in the book to her own life as the character. So I don't know, it's so much like a straight comparison to Jane Eyre, but who cares? It's called Jane Steele by Lindsay Fay, and it sounds awesome.
I'm so excited for that book. It's going to be so much fun. My next book is Maestra by L.S. Hilton. And it comes out on April 19th. It's a thriller about a Londoner named Judith who works as an assistant at a prestigious auction house, but she also works nights as a hostess at a CD bar. And she finds out that at the auction house, there's a conspiracy going on, and she's fired before she can expose it. So I don't know how, what she does with this information, but she eventually is fired. So in desperation, she accepts an offer to travel to the French Riviera with one of the customers at her bar, because that's what you should do in desperate situations. And this enters her to, or this allows her to enter the world of Europe's uber rich. But Judith has secrets that we don't know about at the beginning of the book, and these things will make her run for her life. And it's being compared to both Gone Girl and Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. Mm. So it should be very interesting. It's getting a lot of attention right now, and I'm very excited for it. That's Maestra by L.S. Hilton.
I feel like French Riviera is always the answer.
Probably. Probably.
What to do with my life? Let's go to the French Riviera. The next one for me is Because of Miss Bridgerton by Julia Quinn. It comes out March 29th. This is my only romance, I think, that I included on my list. I know. Well, I could have just done 8 romances, honestly, but I tried to rein myself in. So the Bridgerton series is a beloved and well-known historical romance series about 8 brothers and sisters finding love. And this book is the start of a new series, which features the generation prior to the one that the Bridgertons that we already know. So this is the first one. It's about Billy Bridgerton, and it's always been assumed that she would marry one of the Rokesby sons. They are 2 families who have been neighbors for centuries, and so it's always just been understood that Billy grew up playing with 2 of the boys, and she'd probably eventually marry one of them, and she's kind of okay with it, and they're kind of okay with it, and it's just like, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's only one Rokesby that she really doesn't like, and that is George, the third brother that she did not grow up playing with. And she thinks he's arrogant, and he doesn't particularly like her either. And so they just have this mutual antipathy towards each other until, however, they are thrown together, and they, despite their best intentions, they find themselves drawn to each other. And so I love a good enemies to lovers story. And Julia Quinn always writes really frothy and fun romances. And I have high hopes for this one. That's Because of Miss Bridgerton by Julia Quinn.
My next book is The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu and Their Race to Save the World's Most Precious Manuscripts by Joshua Hammer. That comes out on April 19th, and there's no way I cannot be excited about this book with a title like that. It sounds amazing. It begins with the collecting of rare manuscripts in the 1980s by Abdelkader Hydera. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. He is a mild-mannered government archivist, and he travels all over northern Africa to find these different manuscripts. Then in 2012, Al-Qaeda militants gain control of Mali, including I don't know if it's the capital of city of Timbuktu.
Oh, geography, I know. Not my strong suit.
It's been too long. So they take over Timbuktu, where this archive is held, and they impose Sharia law and begin using extreme brutality toward anyone who doesn't agree with them. Hydera organizes a dangerous operation to smuggle 35,000 manuscripts out of the city, and the description says that it's an inspiring account of the victory of art and literature over extremism. So I think it should be really cool.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that one. I think this may be the only book we have by a man on our list.
Yes, all of mine are women.
Yeah.
As far as the ones I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Book I'm reading this week is a man.
Dudes need to step it up with the books there.
Obviously.
That we're looking forward to.
That's okay. They've had their time. It can be all women this round. Or mostly women.
Yeah.
All right, did you say the title again?
Oh, it's The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu by Joshua Hammer.
My next one is 3 Martini Lunch by Suzanne Rindell. It comes out April 5th. It's by the author of The Other Typist, which I read a few years ago and really enjoyed. Did you read that one, Anne?
Yeah,
it was good. There was a big twist in it I liked.
Ooh.
Big twist ending, which is always I'm a fan of. So this one takes place in New York City in 1958. It's about 3 people trying to succeed in the book publishing world. Cliff Nelson, who's the son of a successful book editor and who is convinced he's the next Kerouac. Eden Katz dreams of being an editor, but there are roadblocks due to her being a woman. And Miles Teller, a talented writer from Harlem, who is black, and so he has his own obstacles to face. And it sounds to me a bit like Mad Men, but set in the book publishing world.
Oh, cool.
And it's all about the struggle to succeed in a highly competitive world and what you do to try to get ahead and whether you stick with your morals or kind of play with them a bit to get ahead. And so that is Three Martini Lunch by Suzanne Rendell.
My next book is La Rose by Louise Erdrich, and it comes out on May 10th. This is set in North Dakota in 1999, and it's about a man named Landro Iron who is out hunting, and he shoots what he thinks is a deer, but it turns out he's actually killed his neighbor's five-year-old son, which is horrifying. And this little boy was best friends with his own son, La Rose. The two families of these children have always been close in many ways. So in his horror at his actions, Landro decides that he's going to adopt this old custom in his community to correct a wrong. And he ends up giving La Rose to the parents of the boy that he's killed. So the situation seems to work well for a while until someone comes into town with a grudge against Landro and begins to stir up trouble for both families. It sounds very gripping.
Yes.
Louise Erdrich just won, or a few years ago, I should say, she won the National Book Award for the Roundhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's always cool to see what someone comes up with as their follow-up to a major award. So I'm looking forward to this. And that is La Rose is the name. That's L-A-R-O-S-E.
My next one is Eligible by Curtis Sittenfeld. It comes out April 19th, and it is a retelling of Pride and Prejudice, which is one of my favorite books, full disclosure. And it is number 4 in the Austen Project, which is where contemporary best-selling authors retell Austen's famous stories. And I don't actually know, do you know who is like sponsoring that project? Like who started that project?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a publisher. I'm not sure who it was.
But I read about it at one point, but I don't remember seeing that information on it. So
I had actually read one other one previously and was not that impressed by it, but I really like Curtis Sittenfeld, and I actually had a chance to read an advanced copy of this and I loved it. It was so good. She's very insightful about women's lives in general in her books, and I was hopeful, and I think she did manage to bring that to a modernized version of Pride and Prejudice. So in this version, Kitty and Lydia are too busy with CrossFit and paleo diets to get jobs. Mary is working on her third master's degree and has like no interest in getting married or anything. And Elizabeth and Jane are single and in their late 30s now and live in New York City. So I think she does a really good job of shifting so that it makes sense why it's a big deal, like that they're not married, why their mother wants them to get married. I think if they were the original ages of the Pride and Prejudice girls, you'd think, well, this is crazy. Of course they shouldn't be getting married. So she does a really good job of making it seem modern, but also faithful to the original. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that Elizabeth and Jane return to Cincinnati, which is where they grew up, because their house is falling apart and their father has had a medical issue that he needs help, and their mom needs help taking care of him. So that's what brings the family all back together. So it's all very believable about why it's happening. Cool. And I just thought it was really charming and fun. And I think it was probably what was intended by this whole project was to bring those stories to the modern audience. So that is Eligible by Curtis Sittenfeld.
My last book is Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler. It comes out on May 24th, and it's about a 22-year-old woman named Tess who's recently come to New York City from some sort of kind of mundane past. And she's going to New York to try to find a place of excitement and belonging. She ends up getting a job at a renowned restaurant, and she works as a back waiter, who is basically the person that clears dishes and sort of assists the main waiter. She spends a year finding a reawakening in her life, and during that time, she becomes involved with two other servers in the restaurant, both a man she falls in love with and an older woman that she latches onto. The novel describes itself as a story of discovery, enchantment, and the power of what remains after disillusionment. So I'm so intrigued by that, and I really want to find out what that means, of kind of the fallout of what happens in this book. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited for this one. And there's a food element too, which I love. So that's Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler.
This is Girls on Fire by Robin Wasserman. It comes out May 17th. It's about two high school girls named Hannah and Lacey, and one is considered the good girl, in quotes, and one is the town's bad girl, and they become friends, and they basically become obsessed with each other. And sort of in that way that only teenage girls can, where like all of their attention and time is taken up by the other one. Mm-hmm. And they're brought together after a suicide, and the two just cause havoc in their small town with no concern for the consequences. And it reminds me a little bit from the description of Megan Abbott's books. Have you ever read her books? They're all about high school girls, and all about like destructive teenage friendships and just the cruelty that can come along with being a teenage girl sometimes. Not for everybody, but sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it tackles sex and drugs and bullying and feeling like you need to belong in high school, but maybe you don't belong in high school, you know, to the in crowd. I think it sounds fascinating. It's Girls on Fire by Robin Wasserman. All right. So that's it for our list of 16 books we're looking forward to this spring. I think it could have been another 16 easily. But we'll just have a chance to talk about those in upcoming episodes and the what we're reading, I hope. And we'll be right back with what we're reading this week. What are you reading this week, Anne?
I just finished Girls in Pants by Anne Brashears.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun. I like that series.
Yeah, it's a great series. This is the third book in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants series. And it's as we just showed you, it's pretty well known. I think there are two movies that they made of the series. So
yes,
it's pretty well established in the YA world and just famous overall. I'm going to talk about the series generally, just not just this book. If you're not familiar with the central plot, the story revolves around four teenage best friends who find a pair of jeans in a thrift store. And even though the girls are very physically different, the jeans fit each of them perfectly. And so they decide that these jeans must be magic and that they're going to pass them on to each other throughout the summer as they are going off to individual adventures. And that happens basically in each book of the series. It's always a summertime book and they're all kind of dealing with whatever is going on in their lives. And they're never together during the summers. They always have different adventures that they're encountering. So the books aren't really about magic pants. This is about the developing friendships that you have with your friends and your family and with boys, and about growing up and becoming the person you're going to be. And the traveling pants are just a way to link them to each other throughout the summer and to act as a metaphor for the love that they have for each other and for the confidence that they gain from that love. There are definitely things that these characters do that are immature and frustrating, but they're all very lovable and they're pretty easily, you can identify with them really easily with the mistakes that you make as a teenager and the mistakes you may make as an adult. And there's just lots of things that happen that are very relatable. I think that the second book in the series, which was called The Second Summer of the Sisterhood, is my favorite so far in the series. That one brought the mothers of these girls into the story in a deeper way that I thought had really profound things to say about how we treat our mothers and how mothers and daughters interact with each other. And but every book, I think, so far, and I've just read the three so far, they all have had really important things to say about what it is to be a young girl and to be a woman. And I think this would be great reading for any woman, regardless of age. Mm-hmm. I never thought, oh, that they seem immature or silly for acting this way. There were so many times when I actually listened to this and I would end up crying at certain parts. Mm-hmm. And they're just so well done and so beautiful. And I think it would be great for guys to read this too. I would encourage anyone to read this, but I think it particularly speaks to how women think of themselves and think about each other. And it's great. It's a wonderful series. And the one I read was Girls in Pants by Anne Brashears.
What I'm reading this week is Challenger Deep by Neil Schusterman. Have
I
you read this?
I love this book.
It's so good.
Oh, it's such a great book.
It won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature this year, and I picked it up because I'm doing that Read Harder Challenge mm-hmm. that we talked about in our resolutions episode. And one of the books is Read a Book from the Perspective of Somebody with a Mental Illness, mm-hmm. I think, or with a main character with a mental illness,
right.
Something like that. So and they also talked about it on Pop Culture Happy Hour, which I love mm-hmm. that podcast. So it was like
they did a deep discussion.
They did a deep discussion of it.
It was
interesting. Yeah. So so I decided to pick it up. And when I started reading it, I wasn't exactly sure what I was reading. It was a little bit fantastical. And mm-hmm. so what you realize as you go along is that portions of it are what's happening in real life and portions of it are what's happening in the main character, Caden's head. Mm-hmm. And so he is developing schizoaffective disorder. And so it really puts you right in the mind of somebody who's going through something like that and the difficulties that you have telling reality from what is happening in your head, because they're both equally as real. Sometimes
right.
what's going on in your head is more real than what's happening in actual life. It's a topic that's very close to the author's heart, as his son was diagnosed with the disorder in his teens. And it has drawings in it, and it really touched me because the drawings are done by his son, or were done by his son. And so it really felt like he captured what it feels like to be in the grips of a mental illness, which I think that if you have not gone through it, it can be hard to picture what that would feel like, and why you can't just kind of be like, well,
snap out of it.
Like, this is real, and that what's going on in your head is not.
Right.
And so I think he just, it's drawn so well that you understand. And as the book goes on, the reality and what's going on in his head have more of a connection, that you understand who the people are in his head, that maybe they're representative of people in his real life. And it was just, it's really, really good. I really liked it. It's very affecting and moving. And I feel like it's one that will be sticking with me for a while. I feel like it'll remain in my head. And it's definitely deserving of the award and the attention that it's been getting. It was just wonderful, wonderful book for anybody. It's a young adult book, but it's anybody could read this, I think, and get something out of it. And that is Challenger Deep by Neil Schusterman. All right, so let's go back and talk about all the books we mentioned today, Anne.
Okay, so my list is The Mad Woman Upstairs by Catherine Lowell, The Nest by Cynthia Dupree Sweeney, Summer at the Little Beach Street Bakery by Jenny Colgan, Life Without a Recipe, A Memoir of Food and Family by Diana Abu-Jaber, Maestra by L.S. Hilton, The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu and The Race to Save the World's Most Precious Manuscripts by Joshua Hammer, La Rose by Louise Erdrich, and Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler. And what I read this week was Girls in Pants by Anne Brashears.
What I talked about were What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours by Helen Oyeyemi, We Love You, Charlie Freeman by Caitlin Greenidge, The Summer Before the War by Helen Simonson, Jane Steele by Lindsay Fay, Because of Miss Bridgerton by Julia Quinn, Three Martini Lunch by Suzanne Rendell, Eligible by Curtis Sittenfeld, Girls on Fire by Robin Wasserman, and what I was reading this week is Challenger Deep by Neil Schusterman. All right, if you want to get in touch with us to give us feedback or a suggestion on a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at wellreadpod@gmail.com or find us on our Facebook page or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. Our podcast is engineered by Adam Farver. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at beaufortcountylibrary.org/wellread, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this episode. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading. Thank you.